Shir is Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We're going to begin the second line. Lo Shachak Me'erev Shabbos. We learned yesterday that when they did a Bris Milah, after the Bris Milah, they used to put on cumin on the Makom HaMilah, and if it wasn't ground from before Shabbos, so the halacha is you're not allowed to grind it on Shabbos, but you're allowed to chew it with your teeth. Tanur Rabbanan begins the brisa. Dvarim shein oisin l'mila b'Shabbos, things that you're not allowed to do for the mila on Shabbos, oisin l'biyontif, you're allowed to do on yontif. For example, shaychik l'ikumen, you could grind up the kumen in the regular way. V'tarfim l'yayim v'shemen. Another thing we learned in yesterday's Mishnah was that they used to mix together oil and wine and apply it to the wound, and that too you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but you're allowed to do it on Yontif, says the Braisa. Amle Abayler of Yosef, Maishna Kumen B'Yontif, why are you allowed to grind the Kumen on Yontif? The Chazal Kadeira, because on Yontif we know you're allowed to do Oichel Nefesh, and if somebody needs ground cumin for whatever he's cooking, he's allowed to grind it on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Yayin V'Shemen Chazin Nami B'Shabbos L'Chayla. So then if the explanation is that anything that I could do beheter, I'm allowed to do on Yontif, and that's why I should be allowed to do it on Shabbos. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is like this: if there will be chas v'shalom a choilah she'ein by sakana, somebody who's sick, not choilah she'yesh by sakana, he's ein by sakana. So the halacha is you're allowed to mix oil and wine for him. So just like we're saying that you're allowed to do it, since you're allowed to do it for a good reason, you're allowed to do it for a bris milah. So the same thing, since you're allowed to mix this together for a chayla she'ein by sakana, you should be allowed to mix it for bris milah too. The Tanya ain't tarfin yayim b'shem l'chayla b'shabbos. The Tanakhama says you're not allowed to mix together these two ingredients in Shabbos. Amar b'shem elaz b'shem rameya, that the halacha is af tarfin yayim b'shem, that you are allowed to mix it together. So the question of Gemara is, since you have a way that you're allowed to do it by heter, you shall be allowed to do it on Shabbos by Bris Milah. Now the Rishonim point out, for the Gemara could ask for Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana, you're allowed to do everything. So the Gemara's question should have been, since if I have a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana, I'm allowed to do these things, I should be allowed to do it even by Bris Milah. So the Rishonim answer that since a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana is something that's Lo Shchiach, it doesn't happen often, I don't say since if I had a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana I could do it, I should be allowed to do it now also. On the other hand, a chayla she'ein by sakana is just somebody who falls to bed because he doesn't feel well. That is already shchiach, and so that's something that would be done. And I ask the Gemara, if I could do it for a chayla she'ein by sakana, I should be do it for the bris. Amar Shimon Lozen, the Shimon Lozen says a story. Pamachas chosh Rameyah b'meyof. Rameyah had a stomach ailment, or bikash n'litra f'lo yayim v'shemen, and we wanted to mix together oil and wine, v'lo yinachnu, he didn't let us. You're the one that says you're allowed to do it, and now you're saying you're not allowed to. Even though I say this way, and my colleagues disagree, I never argue. So even though I feel that apidin, you're allowed to do it, I won't fight. But points out the Gemara. Who nihu the machmer nafshe? He was machmer that even though it's mutter, he didn't do it. Aval kula al mishari. For everybody else, it's mutter. So we're back to where we began. If the halacha is that you're allowed to do it for chal shem by sakana, so should say hoil that we could have done it for chal shem by sakana, we should be able to do it for the child after the bris. Answers the Gemara, Hassam, when you're preparing it for the sick person, loy boy lika. You don't have to mix them. You don't have to beat them together. But when you do it for a child who had just bris milah, you have to beat them together, you have to mix them together. And that's why you can't say, since I could do it for chayla she'ein by sakana, I should do it for this child. Because I can't do it for chayla she'ein by sakana, because there I can't mix them together, because there's no need to mix them together. Ask the Gemara, hachinami neved v'loy leilich. So over here, why don't we say that you're allowed to do it in Shabbos, just don't mix it together. And says the Gemara, that's okay. And Haina de Tani, that's exactly what the Mishnah says. Nois and Zebefne Atzmo, Zebefne Atzmo. You're not allowed to mix them together, but you're allowed to put them separately. And as the Mepharshim explained, what does that mean, putting them to separately? Some Mepharshim explained that you just put the oil and the wine into one plate. not mix them at all. Others say you could even mix them, just not beat it strongly together, because that would be of the dechal. Tana Rabbanan. So we speak a little more about yontif, what you may or may not do on yontif. They used to sift mustard seeds in a sifter, so the Brisa says that you're not allowed to do it on yontif. Another thing they used to do was that they used to put it in coals, and like that, by putting the mustard seeds in coals, it got a little, took off from the sharp edge. Why are we saying that you're not allowed to sift the mustard? We learned in the Mishnah, we're going to learn it later in the Masechta, that you're allowed to put an egg in a mustard sifter. So he answered him, when you sift an egg, it doesn't look like bayir. So there's two ways in the Rishonim how to learn this Gemara. Rashi says, because when you sift an egg, what do they do? They put a soft-boiled egg through a sifter. So everything comes out. Just the hard part, the white, goes out before the yellow. But since everything comes out, that isn't bayir. On the other hand, when you put the mustard through the sifter, the husks, the peel, remain on top, and the mustard seeds go out on the bottom. That looks like bayir. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that one of the first requirements of bayir is that you have psoilus and oichel, something not good and good. So by an egg, there's nothing not good. Both are good. On the other hand, by mustard seed, you have a good part and you have a bad part. That's why it's awesome. So now the question is, why are you not allowed to do it? It's yontif. And yontif, oichel nefesh, should be mutter. So most Rishonim, this is the way the Ritva explains, that even though oichel nefesh is mutter on yontif, just like we've been learning this whole perek, that machshirei oichel nefesh, that anything that you could have done before yontif in preparation for oichel nefesh, you're not allowed to do on yontif. The Gemara is learning now that even oichel nefesh itself, you're not allowed to do on yontif if you could have done it before yontif. And since nothing would have been wrong if I would have prepared these mustard seeds this with the sifting before yontif, I'm not allowed to do it on yontif. Midrabanan, most Rishonim explain. Others say that bayir is not from the malachas that are mutter on yontif. Why is bayir not from the malachas that are mutter on yontif? Because when we go through, we learned it a while ago, when you go through the list of malachas, there's certain malachas that were done indoors and certain malachas that were done outdoors. Malachas like bayir, where did they do bayir in the Mishkan? When they prepared the wheat. That was done outside. When we have a heter to do malacha on yontif, it's only for malachas that were done indoors. Bayir isn't from those malachas, and that's why it's not mutter. The halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah says, that if somebody must do bayir on yontif, on something that he could have done before yontif, certainly if he could have done it before yontif, he should do it with a shinui. Continues the Gemara. You're not allowed to put the mustard seed into coals. V'tanya v'matkenoisa v'gecheles, you are allowed to put it into a coal. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha, kam v'gecheles shematches, kam v'gecheles shalates. It matters what type of a coal, what type of coals. If it's wood, then the halach is that it's osur. If it's metal, it's mutter. So there's a very interesting Rashi here. Rashi says, what's the difference between metal and wood? Rashi says, but wood, when you have a coal, you're left with a charcoal. When the charcoal goes out, when it gets extinguished, you're left with a charcoal. By metal, if you cook something with a hot piece of metal, the metal, nothing happens. It's just not hot anymore. And Rashi says, we only have kibui when you have that you'll be left with a charcoal. So all the paiskim, when you look at Rashi, it's unbelievable. According to Rashi, you only have melechus kibui midoraisa when you're left with a charcoal. So according to this, if you shut a bulb, you shouldn't have kibui. You're not left with a charcoal. The Machzav Avram asked this question. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach asked this question. Unbelievable Rashi. So they all explain what Rashi means to say is like this. You have to be left with something. So here, I'm left with a charcoal. If I put on a bulb, or anything that has a shalhevis, that has something that glows, so if I shut that off, that's also called kibui. The only thing Rashi is trying to say is not kibui, it's like a piece of metal. A piece of metal, there's no shalhevis. So there's no kibui. But if you have a shalhevis, if you'll have a wick, in a bulb you'll have a wick, you'll have kibui. Rashi's not coming to say that you don't have kibui. Otherwise, we could say a hetero based on Rashi on most kibui that we have nowadays, that wouldn't be kibui with the raisa. Omalai, a bailer of Yosef. So we're saying that you're not allowed to put the mustard into the coal because you're extinguishing the coals. Omalai, a bailer of Yosef, maishnam a bistra gumri. They used to roast meat on coals, and the meat and the coals would get extinguished. Omalai, hosomlai efshir, hocha efshir. When you roast meat, you want fresh meat. So you had no choice but to do it on Yontif. And the way Rashi learns, that means like this. Kibui is one of the malachas, according to Rashi, that's mutter on Yontif. And that's the way Shulchan Aruch paskins. But again, provided that you had no choice but only to do it on Yontif. If you could have done it before Yontif, like we explained before, even Eichel Nefesh itself, don't do on Yontif, do before Yontif. Continues the Gemara. Omelet Bailer of Yosef, Maul Gabin. What's the halacha about making cheese? Omelet Osir. You're not allowed to make cheese on Yontif. So he said, Maishna Melisha, why is it different than kneading? When you knead a dough to make a cake or make bread, that halacha is you're allowed to do it on Yontif. Amalei Hasam Lai Efshar, Hacha Efshar. There, you want fresh bread, you want fresh cakes. So there's no choice but to do it on Yontif. Here, you could have made the cheese from before Yontif. Ask the Gemara Amri Na'adoi, Gevina Bas Yoyim Ma'alya. Fresh cheese is better. So why are you telling me I could have made the cheese before, but you want fresh cheese? It's better. So he says, it's not that fresh cheese is better. It means that fil gvina bas yoyim ma'alya, even one day old cheese is fine. But certainly old cheese is better. So since old cheese is better, again, the way we're learning the whole sugya, anything that you could do from before Yontif, and it wouldn't make a difference to do on Yontif, don't do on Yontif. The Achrayim ask, if you remember, we learned the sugya earlier in the Masechta that making cheese involves boina. So the Gemara says, why is Al Gemara saying that making cheese is called lisha, kneading, it should be called boina? So the answer, when you make hard cheese, only when you make hard cheese is a boina. Here we're talking about soft cheese. So in soft cheese there's no boina, but there is lisha. We learned that if you made the bris milah, you're not allowed to prepare the bandage. Amr Abaya. So Abaya said, Amr li aim. My mother, who was a stepmother, who was a nurse, told him, Hai cholok di inuka. The bandage that's put on a child that just had a bris milah, lefanya listerally loy. You should, when you have the bandage, it has a hem. The hem should be on the outside. Why? Dima midbeg gardamine. Maybe some strands of thread will stick out of the hem, and they'll cut the aver. Vosla de kirf shifchen will cut him and make him unable to have children. Ima d'Abaya, Abaya's mother, stepmother, of a kissel palga, she made a lining for half the bandage. Omer Abaya, hayinuka deles lechaluk. If a bandage wasn't prepared, laisa belisa. You should bring a piece of material, this lay sifsa that has a hem, the lichrcha le sifsa le tatoi, should put the hem on the bottom, not on top of the aver, for ayif le leloi, and the smooth part on top, again, for the same reason, it shouldn't cut. Rama bayi, omle em, hayinuka deloi yidia, mifakse, this is a child that's rectum is closed up. And you want to open it up, but you want to open up in the right place. L'shaifa mishcha, you should smear oil on the back of the body, put him up against the sun, where the skin is transparent. That's obviously the place where the opening should have been. You should cut with a hair, and if backward and up and down motion. Don't use metal. Zarf means it could cause infection. You have a child that doesn't nurse. Make a doke pame. The reason he's not able to nurse is because his mouth is cold. Maitakante. What should you do? Laise kosa gumri. Should take a cup or a plate that was kept, put on top of coals so it's warm. Vlinktelele hade pume. Put it next to its mouth. The chayim pume. It'll warm up its mouth. Or mayitz and it'll be able to nurse. So the Ben Ish Chai explains the Gemara Pidrush like this. Hayinukudelei mayitz. You have a child that's not learning. He's going to yeshiva, he's not learning. You know why? Because make a duck upon me. He's cold. You can't learn Torah when you don't go with a gishmak. Maita kante, what should you do? Laise gumri, kasa gumri. bring a Rebbe who's gishmak, who's varm, vilinkate lahade pume, and make Torah gishmak for him, make him interesting, and now he'll start learning. Rama Abaya, Amli Aim, Hayinika Deloy Manchasa, you have a child that's not breathing. Limfefe benafsa, you should fan him with fans, or menashtein, he'll begin to breathe. Rama Abaya, Amli Aim, Hayinuka Deloy Mavi, you have a child whose heart is not beating properly. Lysa slita dima, you should bring the afterbirth of the mother, velishikir levei, and smear it on him. Umavei, and now he'll stop breathing. Vamabai Amaliam, Hayanuka the cotton. You have a child that's emaciated. Lysila siltadim, bring his mother's afterbirth, Velishil Kale, and smear on him. Now the afterbirth is like this. It's wide on one side, it's like a triangle. It's wide and gets narrow. So what should you do? You should do Mikutna l'uma. You should start smearing him with the skinny side and work towards the fat side. What you're trying to do is fatten him up. The uma. But if he's too heavy, he should go the olam if he's too heavy, ma'om malakutna, then shmir him with the afterbirth in the opposite direction, from the broad side to the narrow side. Ramabai Amrali Em, Hayanuka the stomach. If you have a child that's red, the kati loy ivla beidama, the reason it's because his blood has not been absorbed in his body. Lisrichle, you should wait until ad ivla beidama, until his blood gets absorbed into his body. The lamala, and then do the brismila. The yorik, if he's green, the katalay nafal badame, and again, it hasn't constantly been completely absorbed in his body. Lisrcha, wait, ad nafalay dama, the lamala. And this is the makar why you wait by children who are yellow, who are jaundiced, because this is what the Gemara refers to. So, a few things, la locha. First of all, most paiskim say it doesn't have to be that the entire body is discolored. Even if one part of the body is discolored, that's already considered that he's not proper and don't do the bris yet. Now, there's a shayla in the paiskim. Really, we shouldn't discuss it. If a child is sick, not this disease, a real disease, Rahman al-Tzlan, the halacha is you don't do the bris until he's well for 7 days after he was sick. Now the question is, what happens if he had this situation? What do we do? So there are 3 days. One day is that this is not considered a disease. It's just that the blood has to get going. But once the blood gets going, he was never sick and he could do the bris right away. Another day is that this is no different than any other disease and you have to wait 7 days. And the third day, which is the most common day, is as follows. If we're going to be able to do the bris bismanoi on the 8th day, so do it on the 8th day, even if it isn't 7 days since he had the disease. But if the bris was already anyway pushed off, you couldn't do the bris bismanoi, so then wait for 7 days after he gets out of the situation. Aram Nasan. Pamachas halachti l'karchayim. I once went to a city. Abbas ish lefonai. A woman came to see me. Shemal benor rishivames. She mouthed her first son and he died. Sheni v'mes, and the second child. Shlishi havas l'fanai, the third child was brought to me. Re'isa ish edom, I saw he was very red. Amatalem tina lai atshiv lebeidamai, wait until the blood gets absorbed in the whole system. Him tina lai atshiv nivle beidamai, they waited, umalai soy, and they did the meal of a chaya, and he lived for a higher karnai soy nasna bavli al shmi. And they called him nasna bavli in appreciation for me. So first of all, Noida Behuda says there's a Maridig Kul in this Gemara. The Noida Behuda says he didn't see what happened to the first two children. So how was he sure that what happened to the first two children was the same disease as here? Because the halacha is, Misha Mesa Echav Machmas Mila, if somebody's brothers died because of a bris, you shouldn't do a bris to the third brother. So how was Reb Nosson HaBavli so sure that this is what happened by the first two brothers and said, if we'll wait here, will be okay. He didn't see those first two children. They died. So Noah Yehuda says that we see. Why did he allow a bris? So it should have been Misha Mesa Achav Machmas Mila. And he doesn't know what happened. He said it was a fair enough assumption that he didn't have to know for sure that that was the situation by the previous brothers. And the halacha is that Misha Mesa Achav Machmas Mila, you don't do a bris. So first of all, I saw a very interesting shayla from the Avni Nezer. He says like this, what's the halacha? Not that the first two brothers died, but the first two brothers after the Mila were in Sakana, but they came out okay. Is that in the same category, Mishmeis Achemach Smila, that you don't do bris because you're not supposed to put yourself into a sakana? Or since they came out okay, they should do the bris? So Avni Nezer says do the bris. Why? Because he says it's a sex faker. First of all, we're not sure if the third brother will have the same problem. And furthermore, even if the third brother has the same problem, he'll also maybe come out okay. So that's why Avni Nezer is makel. But I saw from Rav Zilberstein, he says that maybe nowadays it's not so simple. Because nowadays you could do a blood test to see if the third brother has the same problem as the first two brothers. So then you don't have a sex faker. You only have a suffix if it will come out. Because if you determine that he has the same disease as the first two brothers, you only have one suffix, and you're not supposed to put yourself into a suffix, and you may not be allowed to do a bris.
Is this hemophilia?
What?
Is this hemophilia?
It's like, it could be hemophiliac, it could be any disease. Now, another shaila is like this. Let's say somebody was married and he had two children, and they both died machmas mila, rachmal atzlan. And then he divorced, or the first wife died, and he marries another woman, and now he has another child. Is this child considered a person shemes echav machmas mila, and you don't do a bris, or you do a bris? So the halacha is that the Paiskim, or Paschal Shem Tzion halacha, quotes this, we do a bris, because we say it goes after the mother. And since these brothers didn't have the same mother, since the Gemara Masechet Nida says the blood you inherit from your mother, and we say that this is dependent on the blood, so you could do a bris.
So if the mother be married,
there would be a problem. Continues the Gemara. Shem Pamachas, halachti lemdinas kaputkia. A boss isha lefonai, a woman came to me, Shemol ben Arish Memes, her first son died, and she brought the third son to me. I saw that he has a greenish complexion. I saw that he did not have a bris mila. I told her, wait until the blood starts flowing. And they waited, and they did the bris, and he survived. So first of all, Rashi says there were two impediments to the bris. One impediment to doing the bris was the fact that he was green, so his blood had not begun to flow properly, and we don't do a bris. And Rashi says another problem. He saw that if you do a bris, no blood would come out. And a bris without any blood is not considered a bris mila. That's why they had to wait. One more thing. The Gemara keeps on mentioning that they called the children Ashem Nosan Habavli. This is the makar for calling a child from the name of a tzaddik. And the Naim Alimelech says that if somebody calls a child by the name of a tzaddik, he could hope that that child will end up being at least similar to the tzaddik that he named after. However, this is not a shaila from today. If you call, what's going to be the halacha? You want to call a child after the name of a tzaddik, but that tzaddik did not necessarily have an easy life. So this shaila began in the time of Nevi'im. You see, interesting thing. We have Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Yishayahu HaNavi. They were great Nevi'im, but they lived in times of Tzoris. They said Nevu of Tzoris. That's why you'll never see somebody named Yirmiyahu, the name Yirmiyah. You won't see a person called Yishayahu, they're called Yishaya. Why, we want a name after those people, but since those people had difficult lives, that's how it became the Minigan Klai Yisrael, to name them with a little different, with a switch. But I saw a schooler for somebody who's never having a hard time having children. If they make up that if the Eibishter will help that they will have children, they'll name them after a tzaddik, it's a schooler to have children. Just like in Agamor, it was a schooler that the child should survive. Somebody who's alive. That's a different thing. Zok the Mishnah. In introduction to this Mishnah, we have to say the following. In their world, it was very important to wash the child with hot water both before the mila and after the mila. The Mishnah Berurah already says, the Chazon Ish already says, that this is all not relevant in our times, because we don't believe that washing, that there's a need necessarily to wash a child both before or after a mila. Says the Mishnah, Mechitzin Sakotin Bein Lefnei Mila Bein La'acha Mila. You're allowed to wash a child both before the mila and after the mila. So the way we're going to learn the Mishnah and the Gemara is we're not talking about washing, cooking up water. We're certainly not allowed to cook water on Shabbos on behalf of a mila. We're talking here that you have already had water, but the halacha we learned early in the Masechta is that on Shabbos you're not allowed to wash with hot water. Why? Because gezeres merchatzos. Because we're afraid that if you're going to let you wash with hot water, they'll heat up hot water, especially for Jews in the bathhouse. For a child having a bris, they did not make the gezera. And the Rishonim say two reasons why they didn't make the gezera. One reason is because when you need to wash, when adults go to the bathhouse, so you have to warm up a lot of water. So we were concerned that they would warm up water specifically for Jews on Shabbos. How much hot water do you need for a child that's going to have a bris? That's one way of learning. Another reason is, since a child after the bris is a chaylish yesh b'sukana, as we've been learning, so there we're more makel in letting them wash with hot water. So we're also makel before the bris. So says the Mishnah, Machitzin sakotin bein lefnei mila bein lachamila, u'mezalfan alav, and we sprinkle on him b'yad avaloi b'kleili. We'll explain this right away in the Gemara. We're allowed to wash a child on the third day that comes out to be on Shabbos. The third day after the bris. So there's a big machlokes to show him how to learn this. The way Rashi learns, and this is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, is like this. The Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agree on the first 2 days that you wash. The question is on the third day. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, even the third day you're allowed to wash. Tanakhama says the first 2 days, yes, not the third day. Other Rishonim learn that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agree on the first day that you're allowed to, agree on the second day that you're not allowed to, and disagree over the third day. And others say that the Machloikis is not that way, but the Tanakhama holds only the first day, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds day number 2 and day number 3. Again, we're going to learn the Tanakhama allows day number 1 and number 2, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah even agrees to day number 3. Why even day number 3? We remember the story in Shechem that the Bnei Yaakov killed at the whole, first they made them have bris mila, and then he killed them the third day, so we see on the third day they're still weak. So all the Mefarshim ask, especially according to the way we're learning according to Rashi, that everybody agrees that day number 1 and day number 2, they're weaker, so why did they wait for day 3? You should have done a day 1 and 2 where they're certainly sick. So there's two answers given in the Mefarshim. One answer is, weakness and sick is not the same. Sick, the tak is sicker the first 2 days. But weak, everybody agrees that the weak is the third day. So that's why they waited for the third day. That's one pshat. The Das Akedim says a different pshat. He says like this. He says a very practical pshat. You had a whole city of Shechem. The whole city had to do the bris. You can't do bris for the whole city in one day. So they did it in shifts. Some did it on day 1, some did it on day 2, and some did it on day 3. On day 3, everybody was already gemalit, and by day 3, everybody was still weak. Because for some people it was day 1 of their bris, for some people it was day 2 of their bris, and for the most it was day 3. So since that was the day where you could have gotten everybody, they waited for the third day. That's the Kedem says this Peshat. Suffolk van Dragonus, Suffolk Rashi explains, is, and we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, in their world they believed a child born in the 8th month could not survive. So the halacha is, you're not allowed to do a mila for such a child. So if it's a suffolk, if the child is born to 8th month, or to the 9th month, or to the 7th month, can also survive, or an androgynous. Androgynous is somebody that has the both male and female genitalia. A mechal on Shabbos, the halacha is not mechal on Shabbos for such children. Yehuda matam androgynous. We'll talk about this more later. So the Gemara begins right away with a question. First it's a machitzin as a cotton. And then right away you say mezalfin, you only spritz. So is it sprinkle or is it wash? So there's two ways of explaining the Gemara. Rabbi Baravud Amr Tavayu, Ketzatani. The way to explain the Mishnah is the Mishnah is explaining itself. The Mishnah begins machitzin sakotin bein lefnei mila bein lachamila. Ketzat, what does that mean when we said you're allowed to wash? Mezalfin la biyad, avala bekli. Only through sprinkling, not through washing. How can you tell me that's pshat? The Mishnah says explicitly you're allowed to wash. Elam Rav HaKatani. This is the way I explain the Mishnah. Mechitzin sakotin bein lefnei mila bein lachamila. You're allowed to wash him regularly. B'yayim rishin kedarkoi. And according to Rashi, not only the first day, even the second day is the same. or b'yoyim shlishi shchalius b'shabbos. If the third day comes out to b'shabbos, Tanakama holds mezafin lo b'yadav lo b'kli, only sprinkle. And only sprinkle with the hand. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Machitzin. Rabbi Chalaz ben Azariah says you could even wash. Shnemar, v'hi b'yoyim ha'shlish, b'yoyisim koyavim. So you see, even the third day they're sick. Says the Gemara, Tanya kavasa de Rava. There's a brisa that explains like Rava. It says in a brisa, Machitzin has a cotton bein lefnei mila bein lachamila. B'yoyim rishin kedarkoi. And like I said, Rashi says the same day is the same. B'yoyim ha'shlish, shchalius b'shabbos, mezafin lo b'yad. You're only allowed to sprinkle. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Yomer, Mechitzin Sakotim Yom Shlish Shchalius B'Shabbos, you're allowed to completely wash them. Vav Vishen Rai L'Dover, even though we don't have explicit proof, Zeich L'Dover, there's some sort of something that shows us that that's right. The pasuk that we just quoted, Shnev Yehi B'Yom Shlishi B'Yoyim Koyavim. Ooh. Kishay mezalfim. When you ever have to sprinkle, I mean, according to the Tanakam that you have to sprinkle, is the halacha ei mezalfim loy bekoyis loy bekarav loy bekli. Don't use a cup or plate or a sprinkler. El biyad. Also, Tanakama, that's going according to the Tanakam. Ask the Gemara. My apish and rai ladova zech ladova. We're quoting a pasuk that says vehi biyoy mashlishi biyoyisim koyavim. So the pasuk is explicit that the third day they were weak. So why is that not a rai? We're only saying zech ladova. Answers the Gemara, Shem the God lo solot basra hiya. Who are we talking about in the pasuk there? They were talking about the people of the city of Shechem. The people of the city of Shechem were adults. Adults don't heal that quickly. That's why they need 3 days. Cotton, but normally a bris meal is done on a child. Sog by basra hiya, and that's why the Tanakhama says you can't wash him by the third day. Says the Sfas Emes, Gevaldik. Says according to this, the Tanakhama will agree that by a godel you can wash on the third day, because the only reason he's arguing on Elazar ben Azariah is because he says because by children they don't get healed quickly. By adult he agrees, so there won't be a machlokes by a adult. The machlokes in the Mishnah says the Sfas Emes will be limited to ketanim. Hahuda osel kamei derava, orele kishmatze. He paskin like the way he learned pshat in the Mishnah, ichlish. Rava. So he got sick. Omar, so then he said, Anoba hadid tagin min the sovelomeli. In other words, like this, Rava was more makel versus Rav Yehuda and Rav Baravua. So he attributed his getting sick because he was too makel. So he said, why did I have to start over them? Omale Rabbanan le Rava, so Rabbanan told Rava, what are you worried about? Vatani kavasei demar. We had a brisa that says like you. So why do you think you did the wrong thing? Omale masnisen kavasei deka. You're right. Maybe the brisa says like me, but if you learn the Mishnah seems to agree with their pshat. My. Midakama, let's review what it said in the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Azariah Oimer, Mechitzin sakot miyom ha'shlish shchalis b'shabbos. Now, Iam Bishlam Tanakam Zalfen Kamer. If you can say the Tanakam holds, you spritz. Hanin the Kamer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Mechitzin. You say spritz, I say wash. Early Iam Tanakam Mechitzin Yom Rishin Kamer. But if you're going to say the Tanakam agrees that you wash the first 2 days, only be Zalfen Yom Shlishi, only the place that disagrees on the third day. So Hanin Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Yom Mechitzin. It shouldn't say in the Mishnah that you wash. It said Af Mechitzin. You say you wash the first day, and I say Af also on the third day. Since it doesn't say Af, it seems that they're right. Kiyosu Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Elazar Haloch Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Haloch is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Hav b'marava. So marava, they want to understand when they pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What does that mean? Hachatzis kol gufay or hachatzis mila? The whole body or just the makom mila? Amlehu rabbanon, Rav Yaakov Shmei, mestabra hachatzis kol gufay. We mean the entire body. Disak dat hachatzis mila. If you're going to say it only means that hachatzis mila, that place alone, migar mecham legabemaka, then it's no worse than washing any wound. Domarav, and we're going to speak about it soon. Ein moinim cham v'shem al gabam mak b'shabbos. So it must be the entire body. That somebody that has a wound, normally you're only allowed to wash the wound. Somebody had the bris milah, you're allowed to wash the entire body. Maskula Rav Yosef l'shanolach b'cham shochem b'shabbos l'harem shochem erev Shabbos is there no difference between water, and again the way we're learning is by goy that was warmed up on Shabbos versus erev Shabbos. Maskula Rav Dimi, Ma'ir Hoch Bechamin Shochem B'Shabbos Pligi. Who tells you that we're talking about water that was even warmed up on Shabbos, Dilma Bechamin, Shochem Be'erev Shabbos Pligi. Maybe they're only arguing about water was warmed up before Shabbos, but on Shabbos itself, everybody would agree that it's Osir. Amar Abaya, I wanted to answer this question. The Kondom Shonalei Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef answered the question before I could. Neshis Kanaloi. You know why you're allowed to use water that was warmed up in Shabbos? Because it's a sakana. And because it's a sakana, we're makel. It manami ka'asa ravin amra bavu amra balaza, vamalai amra bavu amra bioichan, halacha kreb laza ben azaria, ben shacham bechokh b'shabbos, ben cham shokh b'erev Shabbos, no matter when it was warmed up by the guy, ben achatz kal gufai, ben achatz mila neshis kanulai. That is a very fundamental machlokes v'shon we have to speak about before we go to the next Gemara. Machlokes palamor and Ramban. What's going to be the halacha where, let's say you have enough hot water to wash before the bris, and you don't have enough hot water to wash after the bris? So now the question is, should you start the bris knowing that you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos afterwards? Or should you say, no, since I know that I'm going to have to do Chil Shabbos after the bris, don't do the bris in the first place? The Baal Amor says don't do the bris in the first place. The Ramban says you can do the bris. And now you have a situation of a Chayla Shesh Bris Akana. Do what? Do what you have to do. Rabbah Tam explains what's the machloikis, what's the basis of the machloikis between the Baal Amor and the Ramban. They say, the machloikis says, what is the heter of doing something for a child without a bris milah? Is it hutra? It's completely mutter? Or is it the chuyah? It's only something that we do with less because we have no choice. If you say it's only the chuya, so the Baal Amor is right. Don't let yourself into such a situation. If you say it's hutra, then you can let yourself into a situation. Ask the stipler, the halacha is that somebody who's going for a dvar mitzvah is allowed to leave Erev Shabbos on a boat, even though it's very likely they're going to have to do Chil Shabbos. According to the Baal Amor, you're not allowed to let yourself into a situation of Chil Shabbos. The answer is there, it's before Shabbos. Here it's on Shabbos when you're getting into the situation. But then I saw interesting Shaila. Shaila's like this. Let's say somebody's a member of Atzala. Now, if he makes Shabbos early, he may have to go out on a call, and like that he'll have to be Mechal Shabbos. If he doesn't make Shabbos early, so he could go out on the call, it's not Shabbos. Does he have a right to make early Shabbos? But the comparison is not exact. Because here, again, we know for sure that you're going to have a situation. There, hopefully, there won't be any Hatzalah calls. Gufa. Amarav, Ein Maynu Cham Hashem Al Gaba Makba Shabbos. You don't hold back putting hot water or oil on a Makba Shabbos. V'shmol Amin Noisim Chutz L'Makba. You don't put it directly on the Makba. You put it outside. V'shoyses V'yoyed L'Makba. And then it rolls down onto the Makba. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says the Braisa, Ein Noisim Shem V'cham Al Gaba Moich Litin Al Gaba Makba Shabbos. You're not allowed to put it on a gauze to put on the makkah. Says the Gemara, that's not because you're not allowed to put on the makkah. Hashem Shem Schita, because we're afraid you're going to squeeze out the gauze. Toshma, ain't noise to Cham Shem Agaba Moich, Shagaba Makkah B'Shabbos. So the Gemara and the Habamina thing, since you're not putting on a gauze that's not on the wound, since the gauze is already on top of the wound, there wouldn't be Schita. Says the Gemara, no. Hashem Nami Mishem Schita. It's again only because of the Schita. But if there wasn't a Schita problem, you could put it directly on the makkah. Tanya Kavosi de Shmuel, Ein Noisn Cham Bisham Agaba Maka Bishabis, Av Noisn Chutz Lamaka, Vishoyz Vyar Lamaka, put it outside and let it roll onto the Maka. Tana Boran, Noisn Agaba Maka, you let it put on a wound, Moich Yavish, a dry rag, or Svug Yavish, or a dry sponge. Av Loy Gemma Yavish, not a dry reed, Vloy Ktitin Yavishim, not dry rags. Ask the Gemara Kasha Ktitim Aktitim. First you said that you're allowed to put a Moich Yavish, and then you say you're not allowed to put Ktitim Yavishim. And so the Gemara Loi Kasha. So this is the way Rashi learns. Ha Bechadati Ha Batiki. New, what do you call it? New rags are heal. So since they heal, like we learned many times, you're not allowed to do Refuah B'Shabbos. Old rags don't heal, and that's why you're allowed to put them. Amar Baya Shmamina Hani Ktisin. Rags, masu, cause people to get healthy, there are four.